Please, would you turn with me to Isaiah 44, verse 6. If you'd like a Bible in your hands, this is a good moment to nip out of this seat, borrow one from the rack on the back. That would be lovely. This is what the Lord... This is a bit of ancient satire, by the way, in the middle of this. It's also great theology. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Who then is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and lay out before me what has happened since I established my ancient people and what is yet to come. Yes, let them foretell what will come. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are my witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No. There is no other rock. I know not one. All who make idols are nothing, and the things they treasure worthless. Those who would speak up for them are blind. They are ignorant to their own shape. Who shapes a god and casts an idol which can profit nothing? People who do that will be put to shame. Such craftsmen are only human beings. Let them all come together and take their stand. They will be brought down to terror and shame. The blacksmith, he takes a tool and works with it in the coals. He shapes an idol with hammers. He forges it with the might of his arm. He gets hungry and loses his strength. He drinks no water and grows faint. The carpenter measures with a line and makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses. He shapes it in human form in all its glory, that it may dwell in a shrine. He cut down cedars, or perhaps took a cypress or oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine and the rain made it grow. It's used as fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread, but he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of the wood he burns in the fire, over it he prepares his meal, he roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, ah, I'm warm, I see the fire. From the rest, he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships. He prays to it and says, save me, you are my god. Oh, they know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they cannot see, and their minds closed so they cannot understand. No one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding to say, half of it I used for fuel. I even baked bread over its coals. I roasted meat and I etched. Shall I make a detestable thing from what's left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood? Such a person feeds on ashes. A deluded heart misleads him. He cannot save himself or say, is not this thing in my right hand a lie? Can God speak to me? Can God speak to you? Story I often tell as the two friends of mine who were at university, a few years older than me, because they're very old now, And they were in love, desperately in love. In fact, he was totally and utterly besotted with her. And so he decided the time had come to make that statement, ask that question. The time had arrived to pop the question to this beautiful young woman whom he loved and adored. And they were students in Edinburgh, so if you're going to pop the question, you need a romantic place to do that. And he took her up a hill. Actually, I took Susan up a hill to propose to her, actually. Why not? And he took the lovely lady up Arthur's Seat in Edinburgh. And they sat on a bench side by side, overlooking Edinburgh. And he took a very deep breath. And he asked her to marry him. And she didn't answer. She didn't say yes, she didn't say no, she didn't say anything. She didn't acknowledge the question. Now he's got a problem, isn't he? You've asked and she hasn't answered. Does that mean no? Does that mean yes? Does that mean I'm thinking about it? Anyway, that was his problem. So he didn't know how she was going to answer. Now, I'll put you out of your misery. She hadn't heard him. That was the problem. But he did not know that. So he waited a few days. A few days later, he once again asked the lovely Jill to marry him. And this time she heard him and she said yes. And they lived happily ever after, more or less, I'm sure. They were certainly very happy when I met them years later. Now, it just struck me that isn't it one of those great, terrible things, you know, if somebody tells you they love you and they want you to be with them for the rest of your life and you don't hear them. Wouldn't that be terrible? I mean, you know, literature is full of these amazing stories of love that kind of goes off the tracks. If you've ever read or seen the film Captain Corelli's Mandolin, that's another example of a couple in love, and then there's a misunderstanding, and maybe this is a plot spoiler, by the way, and he goes away, and he comes back, and he sees her with a baby, and he thinks she's found somebody else and married. In fact, it's not her baby. She's just looking after it. And they only meet up again when they're very old. So it's a sad story. I mean, that is sad. You know, they're so in love and it never happens. And just for a moment, wouldn't you think that with God and you, wouldn't that just be a terrible thing? If God was saying to you, I love you, and I want you to be close to me, I want to share my life with you, and you don't hear him, wouldn't that be life's biggest tragedy? Wouldn't that be your biggest regret when you got to the end of your life and discovered that God had been telling you he loved you and you hadn't heard him? You hadn't got the message. You hadn't picked it up and committed yourself to him. Over 100 times in the Bible, it says God spoke, or hear the word of the Lord. So I just want to say a few quick things. Firstly, if God can't speak, there's no need to listen. And that's why I read this bit of ancient 2,700-year-old satire of making a God out of a tree, you know. It's not going to speak, is it? Look, I love people who care about the environment. And if you want to hug a tree, go ahead and hug a tree. But it won't speak to you. All right? It will not speak to you. I'm sure you'll find it gives you a warm, fuzzy feeling to embrace nature and hug a tree. But it's not going to speak to you. But God, we expect God to speak to us. Because if God can't speak, then you and I are completely at the mercy of 1,000 different philosophies, are we not? Or perhaps I'm misjudging the number of philosophies. Probably tens of thousands of philosophies. If God can't speak, how on earth am I going to choose between all these different philosophies, all these different ideas about God? If God can't speak, then I'm going to get confused. And I'm never going to work out what's going to happen. There's going to be a zillion conflicting claims on my loyalty and my attention if God can't speak. If God can't speak, then frankly, I'd say don't bother with religion because you're only going to be misled.
But in verse 6 of chapter 44, we get these powerful, this is what the Lord says. Do you know just the beginning of that? The Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and the last, apart from you, there is no God. And suddenly God is coming through loud and clear. I am the God who speaks. Greater than any writer, greater than any philosopher, any journalist, any politician, any celebrity. If God is speaking, then stop and listen. So if God does speak, how would I hear him? If God does speak, how would I hear him? Sounds can be difficult to hear. If you want to call a dog, you can buy a dog whistle. And you blow it, and the human ear cannot hear, cannot pick that up, won't pick it up. But you blow that whistle, and your dog will look up and realize that you're communicating with him or her. Cats hear it too, but they don't care. A friend of mine went way back at university, was studying psychology, and he didn't believe in God. And he said, Peter, I don't believe in God because for God to communicate with me, I would need a God receptor in my brain, and I can't find one. I don't know that there is one, therefore there can't be a God. To which I say, wait a minute, you know, the brain actually never hears anything. The brain picks up electrical signals from our ears, which it interprets as sound. But the brain only gets electrical signals. It doesn't actually hear anything when you think about it. And when we talk about God speaking to us, we're using the term loosely. We're talking about God communicating, God speaking to our human mind, our human wisdom, our human understanding. And we say God, you know, can speak to us in any number of ways depending on the circumstances. I mean, how many senses do we have? You see, traditionally you used to have 5 senses, didn't you? Touch, sight, hearing, taste, and smell. Okay? But there's more than that. Let me show you another one. Would you like, why don't you do this? Close your eyes and touch the end of your nose. Go on, all of you, try it. Did you do that? What sense was that? Now, I know I'm speaking to a church that's half full of psychology students and people doing their PhD in psychology, and etc. And I've got to be very careful what I say here, otherwise I'm going to be severely taken to task at the end of the service. But basically, that's not one of the 5 senses. And there was a thing in the press this week about mapping in our head, you know, like sat-nav, you know, mapping in our head, you know. And the human brain seems to be able to do that. Certainly when we touch the end of our nose with our eyes shut, we have a spatial awareness that's quite uncanny. I mean, fish can notice change in electrical fields as well. And birds migrating can pick up changes in the magnetic field. So there's all kinds of ways that we receive information in our brain. God is not limited to one or the other. In fact, the brain works by firing electrons across the joints called synapses. We have 1,000 trillion of them. And the firing of electrons and so on is dependent on quantum mechanics. And yeah, I'm on firmer ground because I am a physicist. And you know, that is... Quantum physics says you don't really know what's going to happen with the electron until it happens. And yet, overall, in this overall pattern, it's unpredictable, but the brain works. And at any one of those points, God can step in. I mean, God is not limited to communicating with us in any one manner because our brain is so complex and the inner workings of it, the atomic workings of it are so complicated. God doesn't need a receptor. God can operate on our brain in any number of ways. You could monitor my brain when I'm praying, and you could translate, you could interpret the information in 2 ways. You see, the atheist would say, look, You see, that all that shows is that praying is just imaginary. Peter's just imagining all this. And sure, there are areas in my brain that are firing up, that fire up when I'm praying. What no scientist can tell you is whether I'm communicating with God or not. That is not going to show up on the MRI scan, whether God's hearing me and whether my prayer is going to be answered. There's no scientific experiment that can ever do that. I'm afraid there are things you're just going to have to learn to do by faith. So, you know, when God speaks to us, I sometimes think we could interpret this in a modern way. You know, sometimes we've got the hardware, but we need the software. Okay? You've got a mobile phone, but it's not doing what you want to do because you don't have the app for it, do you? Right? So if you want your mobile phone to do something new, you've got to download an app for it. And same for your computer. You can have the hardware, but if you haven't got the software, it won't do what you want it to do. And you and I, we have the hardware in our heads for God to communicate to us, because that's what God did. He created us in the image of God. We have the hardware in our brain, but sometimes we don't have the software. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have the understanding for God to begin to speak into our life. Sometimes that needs to be built up through a number of things. So let's take a look at maybe some of the software we need to download for God to begin to speak to us. Does that make sense? You're looking at me very blankly there. Okay, I'll just press on in the hope that you're with me. What does God need then to speak to us to get this cerebral hardware of ours communicating with him? Well, firstly, God speaks to us through the natural world. This is what the Apostle Paul says in rather more ancient terms. He doesn't use computing terms, and probably very wisely. Probably a lot more sense than anything I'm saying to you. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 to 23. What may be known about God is plain to everyone, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they know God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Paul says, listen, just look at the world. Look at the complexity. Look at the enormity of it. It doesn't just happen. You can't just can't wake up one morning and say, no, that's a stroke of luck, isn't it? Yeah, that's quite a stroke of luck. It's quite a coincidence that this enormous existence is there, this enormous universe, just suddenly pops out of nowhere. It's just a big stroke of luck. And Paul's saying, just take a look at it, the complexity. We live on what some people call the blue planet. Beautiful planet. I know there are all kinds of sufferings, all kinds of trials that we go through, but it's still a beautiful world. You and I, we still love watching the wildlife documentaries, don't we? We still love watching the geography programs. We still love to go for a walk in our beautiful mountains. It's a beautiful world. And Paul says, just take a look at it. Just take a look at you, how you're crafted to love and give love. God made all this. And that shows that there's a God out there. There's a God who exists. And there's a God who wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you in the dawn of every day. There's a film a while back, a Spielberg film. I think it was his first film, called The Color Purple. And I forget the exact wording, but these two women, they've had a harsh, terrible existence. And yet when they see the color purple, they feel that God is speaking to them in that color purple. Like, you know, God is making a pass at them, in a sense. That color purple speaks to something in their hearts. God, says Paul, speaks to you through your natural world. Take a look at the natural world. Download the software to look at the natural world. Open your eyes to see the beauty and the power and the intricacy and the joy of existing. And you will begin to understand that God is there and God loves you and God wants to communicate with you. And the second way that God can speak to us is through the inspired scriptures. Again, back to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. Continuing what you have learned and have become convinced of, because from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has spoken to us through an inspired book. It's a complicated book. It's a difficult book. You wouldn't expect God to give you, you know, Peppa Pig, would you? You know? You wouldn't. I mean, if God's going to speak to you, it's going to be more complicated than that. God is going to speak to you through his book. It's complicated. He expects you to use your brain to read it. Psalm 119, verses 17 to 18 says, "Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." It's his prayer that he reads the Bible, God might speak to him. Can I say, do that? Look, I don't care where you start reading the Bible, okay? I'm not going to tell you what to do. Maybe in one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, it's the easiest place to start. It's perhaps the best way in. But ultimately, if you want to read it somewhere else, you do that. I don't mind. But if you read the scripture, God will begin to speak to you. That's what he says. Lord, as I read it, please speak to me. There's lots of layers and there's lots of difficult passages in it. But its basic teaching is clear and accessible. God has spoken in a book. It's not chicken soup for the soul. It's challenging. It's confrontational. It's puzzling. It's tough. But God will speak to you through the scriptures. And thirdly, God will speak to you in Jesus. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 1, it's a lovely passage. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times in various ways. But in his last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son, that's Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Okay? God speaks to us in Jesus. Can I just say, read the Gospels. Read through Jesus' life. I don't want to get into an argument with you. I don't want to browbeat you. I just say, read Jesus, and as you see Jesus, you will see God at work. You begin to understand how much God loves you, how much God loves the human race. Encounter Jesus, you encounter God. You hear Jesus, you hear God. You follow Jesus, you're following God, and things will start to come together in your life. It might be a slow process. It might be a process that takes years, but do that. God will speak to you in Jesus. He'll speak to you through creation. He can speak to you through the scriptures. He can speak to you through Jesus. And finally, God can speak to you and me in the quietness of our heart. Just a little passage. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed." There's a lesson for you and me there. Okay. In a quiet place, God can speak to my heart. God can speak to my heart. Get alone with God. C.S. Lewis says, if you want to avoid the voice of God, if you want to avoid hearing God's voice, this is what you got to do. Avoid silence, avoid solitude, avoid any train of thought that leads off the beaten track. Concentrate on money, sex, status, and above all, on your own grievances. And when you concentrate on those things, you'll manage to shut God nicely out of your life if that's what you want. But why would you? Why would you shut God out of your life? Philip Yancey says, "By nature, God is a self-revealer. He must make himself known, yet God is a self-concealer as well. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Please do not expect to understand everything about God in your lifetime." But you can expect God to speak to you. God can get through, but download the software, please. Read the Bible. Go for a walk and look at the wonder of creation. Go to a quiet place and start praying. Get that software working. And this beautiful hardware, which is our brain, will pick up God's voice in one way or another. I did hear of a woman who set fire to her hut because her husband wouldn't answer her. I'm just waiting to see how much. That didn't get much of a reaction. Okay, that's good. That says something that husbands here are much better at listening than I thought they were. But, you know, how frustrating to be talking to somebody and they're not responding. How frustrating must it be for God to get through to us? I just found this little cartoon which kind of sums up my sermon quite nicely this evening. It's God speak. I'm sorry that God's pictures a little old man on a cloud with a halo. And really, you know, okay, you had to draw God somehow. But he's speaking and this guy is just standing there with his finger in his ears, saying that he can't hear God speak. Make sure that's not you and me. God wants to speak. Many, many years ago, I heard a Romanian preacher, a man who in a communist time had been thrown into prison. And at the time, the Bible was banned in Romania. You can go into any marketplace in Romania these days and buy a Bible, but in those days it was forbidden. And the churches, and people didn't have Bibles. In fact, it was not uncommon for a church to have just one Bible between everybody. And Wurmbrand went to visit a congregation that they'd found a novel way. What they did, they cut the Bible up into pages, and then they passed the pages round. So you keep the pages for a few days and then swap with somebody else. And he went to visit a man. And the man only had one page of the Bible. And Richard Wurmbrand thought he sort of just talked to him, but said, show me the page of your Bible. And it was a page of the Bible from the book of Jeremiah. And it was one of those obscure Jeremiah passages, you know? And Wurmbrand said his heart sank when he saw the page this poor guy had got. And he thought, what does he understand of that? You know, this guy knows nothing about the Bible, and he's got Jeremiah, and it's his obscure passage. And so he said to the guy, what do you make of it? The guy said, it's wonderful, Pastor. He says, what do you mean it's wonderful? He said, Pastor, it's fantastic. He says, why? What is it? And the guy says, well, look at this verse here. It says, God spoke to Jeremiah. And Richard Wurmbrand said, well, yeah. And the man says, don't you see? I've never heard of Jeremiah. He's never been in Pravda. He's never been in any of the newspapers. I don't know who he is. I have no clue who he is. But God spoke to him. God can speak to me, too. God can speak to me, too. Please listen to God. Please download that software into your brain, please, and start listening, because God loves you and wants to speak to you. And secretly, let me tell you this, he wants to propose. He doesn't just want to swap telephone numbers. He wants to propose. He wants you and he to walk through this life together. Band, please join me on the platform. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you that you're not a block of wood. Thank you, you're not a picture carved on the wall or a block of stone. Thank you that you're not an idol that has to be nailed into place to stop it falling over. You're the living God who made this world and loves us and cares for us. Thank you, Father, that your love never fails. And that you never stop trying to communicate to our poor human brains, and we're so bad at hearing you. Open up our brains to hear you, Lord. Open up the synapses of our brain that our brains might begin to receive you loud and clear and to understand you and to respond to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.